The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences.
TBS, America's number one independent television network, presents the following sports exclusive.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And this is Andy, and you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Greetings all. Everybody here?
Yeah.
Andy with his new avatar yet again this week, which cracked me up in the open. That's funny.
Well, we had Michael.
I know. Yeah. I'm going to bring him in just a second, just out of tradition. Okay, now we can bring him in. I just wanted to make sure that we didn't do it all at once because, you know, how things are.
Yeah.
So, right at the top, first, before we get to anything show-related, Mike and I have a Boards-related announcement that must be made.
Yes. We're very excited about this. Very
and
excited.
The Majestic 12 and its infinite absurdity has decided that should he choose to accept, Mike, you can take it from there.
Andy, if you choose to accept, you are being offered a CCSLC moderator position.
Oh my.
Andy's going to overcome.
I did not expect. Honestly, my heart is racing over here.
Ever since you were a boy on the internet, you said one day I could be a moderator.
Distinguished
logo forum.
It's cool. I mean, I would love to.
Do you accept?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
No, absolutely.
All right.
Oh boy.
Hey. I don't know what to do now.
You'll get your cloak for the Majestic 12 in the mail.
Okay.
So that's coming. Just make sure that you obviously we're going to give you the list of users who we let get away with everything. Because
right.
We obviously have that, right?
Yeah, so clear agendas going on.
Clear agendas,
the whole thing.
Yes. Yeah. And we're going to tell you the users that you're supposed to punish unfairly, and then we kind of let you take it from there.
I think I can handle it. Yeah. Thank you. I mean, I'm honestly pretty surprised. I didn't think I was.
Sorry.
Fine.
Little did they know what they had just done.
I swear, Andy's like, "You fools!" Yeah. And he just,
"That shit ain't funny, motherfucker."
It's like I'm very grateful you guys thought of me, and obviously it's nice to have a few ins with you guys. And I'll try to do my best to piss everyone off and get
there
a few people to leave the board.
If you want. I mean, I know that you have dreamt of this for a while, Andy, but if you want, you could pick up where Brian and Boston left off and just
kind of ruin everyone's day.
Just pop into threads where people are generally having a good time and tut-tut everyone, go wild with it, really.
I've had a lot of practice being, I have my own message board for just the Chicago Bears, which is just a mixed experience. I'm an administrator of this page. It's my website, and I've gotten used to sort of pissing in people's cornflakes and shutting down a lot of shit. And so it'll be interesting to, I'd like to talk to a few of you guys to see how things changed when you become, I know it's ludicrous because anybody listening who doesn't give a shit about message boards or online communities or anything, there is a difference when you're an active participant and then when you're a moderator or whatever position of influence on the board.
So for me, and I think everyone here will know that I can indeed be quite argumentative. But when I was made a moderator. You know, I was like, I distinctly remember it. I think I was replying to a Morgo post, actually, of all things. And I wanted, and I was like, I had it typed out like, you mouth breathing fucking idiot or something like that. It was an insult that like, if I wasn't a mod, I'd like post it anyway and then just take like the punishment. It's like, you shouldn't have said that. Like, okay, fine, whatever. But then I was like, no, I'm a moderator. I shouldn't say that. So I just like deleted it and replaced it with, you are wrong.
If I could give you one piece of halfway decent advice, Andy, like when somebody as a mod, when somebody says something to you that you can't take it like, you've got to take it like, okay, pretend they're saying it to someone else. So you can't like use the, I'm a moderator, don't talk to me that way thing.
Well, right.
You know, I mean, that's, I try to avoid that. Like if somebody takes a shot at me, I'm like, well, okay, fine.
Also, you know? Also, sometimes as a mod, like you might be like the person who has to deliver like something like the news, right? It's like, we all decide something and it's like, all right, well, someone go say something. And then like, that might be you. And then people will naturally just assume you are the one doing it. And it's just like, and like, oh, fuck that Andy guy. And it's like, it's like, never be afraid to be like, look, numbnuts. Maybe don't use numbnuts. But you just got to be like, there's like 9 of us that we decided this. So
that's what I was just thinking that I can't wait to vote in my first ban. That's going to be so exciting.
It's not as easy as you would think.
No, I know. Yeah.
You look at it. Established.
It's got to be unanimous, really. Like,
yeah, it has to be. Yeah, but you get the case, and then you think, well, it's like, say if it starts with Dennis says, okay, this guy's doing this, and we all go and look, and then you got to go, huh, is this as bad as they think it is? Is it not as bad? And, you know, usually I can't think of a time where we were ready to ban someone and didn't. I mean, usually the cases for bans are pretty clear cut. It's where the suspensions can get a little tricky because something that might bother, say, Mike or you might not bother me. And then, you know, but otherwise, it's a pretty easy job, really. I mean, it's not hard. I've not had a decision yet that I went and said, well, I wish I hadn't done that.
All I can say is it's a shame that Victoria Gunner is no longer with us.
I'm going to ask Mike, and I think Dennis is in the chat. Do you think we have pissed off all the old mods enough at this point by bringing in first Mike and then me and then Andy? I think we've checked all the boxes for
well,
people
all the
us, right?
old mods. All yeah. right. The future is now, old man. Now.
I mean, like, I think that anybody who, I mean, I feel like we've discussed this kind of before with like our personas on the board and personality and how we write and things like that. I feel like it's, you know, we've been doing this for so long now that it's, I don't feel like I'm as argumentative or as animated as I was. And I mean, if I do get in the mix, it's because somebody's blatantly stupid enough that it offends me and they need to be, you know, somebody needs to be woken up a little bit. But I mean, yeah, I feel like this is one of those situations to where like, in my mind, it's like getting the key to like, a cool like lounge area of the building that I didn't know existed, and then you get in there and it's just like a coffee maker and like a worn out futon.
That's pretty accurate. Like I remember when I first became a mod, and you go into like the owner's box, right? Which is like, and then it's like there's only like 3 threads here that are active, and one of them is specifically a thread of nonsense. And then for the mod one, like the like you have fun maybe for like a half an hour going through all of like some of like the old threads, and then you just like, oh, this is it. Okay.
I think the biggest pain in the butt about it is, and that's, you know, I rarely ever see reported content that I see first. Like usually somebody's right on top of it, but that's kind of a pain because sometimes you'll get, and Dennis and Mike can both, agree with me on this, is that you get stuff that's reported and you go, really?
Reported, like, this? There's got, It's like this. I made a concept, and this guy said it was bad. Like, could you ban them, please? And then you, and it's weird because it's like usually on those, if it's in the middle of the day, I will just not do it. I'll be like, you know what? Someone else will see this and get to it. But then there will be times where it's like 1:30 in the morning, and I'm on for whatever dumb reason, and I see like a report like that, and I'm like, shit, I'm like the only person who's probably I should deal with this.
Well, this is like all mod all the time bass right now. We've got us three, and then in the chat we've got Jimmy and LMU from the boards who are also mods. This is a this is almost a Majestic 12 meeting here, guys.
Yeah. Say after the show,
I am not a mod. General public, I am not. So I'm one of you. I'm your man on the inside.
Is Zach the new Hedley Lamarr who's going to stand up for the common man?
He's the proletariat. I'll tell you,
me and the skirt.
My God.
Yeah, no. I can't even pretend to be that way. It's just like
I know how uncomfortable is it even to talk like he did.
Just for that half second, it was bad.
Yeah. No. But anyway, so that's
just don't spend $10,000 to see the Rams.
Oh no, by all means, I thought you were going to say tell Hedley not to. No, by all means, dude, go watch your Falcons blow a 28-3 lead and spend $10,000 in the process.
So anyway, before we get going here, so I now have access. And I just like to say, this is democracy at work here. So I'm not going to read exactly everything that was put in this. This is basically a thread discussing nominations, and not a single number one. So it's a ranked choice, and I didn't get a single number one vote, but I got a lot of twos, and folks, that adds up.
Hey, this is going to get way Canadian inside baseball for a moment here, but that's how Aaron O'Toole got the Conservative Party leadership. Nobody voted for him to be their first choice, but he was everyone's number two choice.
Well, I can tell you the full story of all that off the air, Andy, if you'd like. I don't want to get into it's way too inside baseball, but yeah.
After the show, if you and Mike want to stick around, we'll chit chat about it. That'd be cool. But we have other business to attend to today.
In the Bass compound.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised and not surprised at how many suggestions we've already gotten for the 2020 Harmonious Tournament of Disgrace.
We've gotten a lot of good ones. I've got a mini list of my own just ideas, so I think we're in a good spot. Like, at least, you know, from my perspective.
Four pages worth on the boards already.
Yeah,
This is why we love this place, because just put up like, hey, we're doing this thing about all the bullshit that happened this year. Yeah. Does anyone want in? And it's just like four pages of just gold.
Now, everyone out there needs to know that the large majority of these will not make the field.
Mm-hmm.
Just goes to show how crazy 2020 was, but I don't.
So I think
we already talked about the tournament size, right?
I think that me and Greg have kind of had a few differences about what this like is supposed to be. And
right.
Like,
I mean, we need to determine that because again, I'm not against having anything in it, but I also don't want it to be a funeral dirge followed by a bunch of late night hack comedy on politics either, which is kind of like where it was headed, I thought, a little bit. So,
well, I mean, it is the ignominious Tournament of Disgrace. You don't want to, like, you know, this isn't celebrating the good times.
Yeah,
you know?
No, this is celebrating. This is, I mean, you mentioned funeral dirge, Greg. This is the quote unquote celebrating the funeral dirge that has been the year 2020, which has been.
I mean, you could certainly go that route. I just think that as far as I'm concerned, I'd like the more absurd stuff, like the alternate universe where time travels backwards and the zombie minx that somebody discovered a couple weeks ago.
We're going to have four brackets. There's got to be room for all of it, right?
Okay, like, well, then we'll just go that route. If you guys are cool with that, that's fine with me.
I mean, there's I'm just saying, like, we got four brackets. There's no reason we can't.
Bracket, you make a death bracket.
Andy did a nice job on the brackets earlier today.
My thought was that if you have the regions or whatever named after those who have, like, famous deaths, then you just kind of get those out of the way and trying to, you know, that way you're not pitting, Kobe Bryant against Sean Connery or something to where it's like,
Right.
Well, who do you guys miss most? Like, well, that's kind of shitty. And plus, if, like, let's say Alex Trebek or something gets to the final and loses, or so it's like, who's going to vote against Alex Trebek? You know, so it's kind of
heartless people mostly.
True, but it's also like, do you really want to have it come down to that? I mean, I feel like it's more fun to kind of let them set the topics.
Yeah,
and see, that kind
I
of think, stuff. You know,
and I will say this too: if as someone who controls the voting on SurveyMonkey. If you vote against Alex Trebek, I will disallow your vote. I'm going to tell you right now.
Well, I think in that instance, my thought when I was thinking about how this tournament would go, it's not necessarily what is the worst thing that happened this year. It's or what is the weirdest thing to happen this year. I think because 2020 has been a mixture of both, right? So what is the most 2020 thing?
Right. That's kind of how I looked at it too.
Right. Like and a, so like in the instance where we're talking about Just in the if you had a matchup of Kobe's death versus Alex Trebek's death, does Alex Trebek's death suck? Of course, we all love right. Alex Trebek, but he had stage 4 cancer, and we knew about that last year. So we all kind of knew that this was going to happen either this year, next year, or any time in between. So that's not as bad, you know. We're not trying to say that death is bad, but then like Kobe Bryant dying in a helicopter crash, you know, that's pretty odd. And just kind of set the tone for how the rest of the
year is how I see 2020 starting. Okay, it started out, drummer in one of my favorite all-time bands, Neil Peart, dies.
Oh, I forgot about that.
A week later, Kobe Bryant flies into a fucking mountain and dies, and then COVID happened. It's like, well, we're off to a great start here. And it's just been all downhill ever since.
Not to mention the near Iran war and Australia on fire and, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. January on its own was special.
Well, you know, everybody looks back and says, boy, in January, before February, it's like, you know, January wasn't great either, kids.
No, January sucked.
It just wasn't COVID related. That was the only difference.
I just posted my choices. So just off the top of my head, gender reveal party explosives.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor's punctured lung.
Oh, God. How do we miss that?
That's a good one. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
The Atlanta Falcons COVID football.
Oh, the Dan Snyder Washington football team.
Dan Snyder Washington football team drones. and Boomer Facebook.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say Boomer Facebook for a Glorious Tournament of Victory entry, but I really think Boomer Facebook has strong 2020 credentials.
I'm going to put a motion on the floor that I think a few of these could actually be in both tournaments if we want, just because they're such good entries. Also, I thought about this, and I thought we should actually do it because it would be the absolute 2020 ending to this thing. We start it, get like a round in, and then cancel it because somebody got infected, and that's it. We can't carry it on anymore. But
I know. Go ahead, finish your thought.
I was just going to say, but then I thought that would really be a shitty thing to do.
Well, what we could do is we could have a like – I don't know what if to narrow the field down, we could like spin the wheel and whoever it lands on gets COVID and is removed.
Ooh,
from
I like that.
So
I
every
like
round
that.
There's like a random COVID removal.
Right.
Kind of so like Baltimore Pittsburgh, right?
Or kind of like all of the Broncos quarterbacks.
Oh, Jesus. So we'd have to arrange it so that every bracket ends up with an odd number somehow. So I guess you have some sort of a buy or something. I don't know. But that's tricky to figure out. But either way, I like the idea. So.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's great. But, yeah, we have to have somewhere along the way someone has to get taken out, not because they lost, but because COVID took them out. Yeah. It's a randomly assigned each round. That's fine by me. We'll figure it out.
We have to have this like up for voting. When's the goal for having people vote on this?
Oh, probably should be in the next week or so, I would think. Maybe after the show, we can kind of do a little bit of like prune some of the, pick the interests we like the best and just kind of go from there.
Okay. So, I mean, we can. Yeah, I mean, it's one. It'd be kind of. I mean, I wish we could be discussing it live because there's some good stuff and some not.
Oh, we can do it live too if you guys want.
Do it live.
Or we just record it and release it later in the week. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, we can do that too. Yeah,
whichever. Well, let's go ahead and get some of the timely stuff out of the way because that's not going anywhere. So yeah, yeah, you well, mentioned we talked about before the show, like football stuff is a weird week. Weird week of football.
Before we start football stuff, just to like bounce off of something that shouldn't make the tournament field, but is a very 2020 incident. Did you guys happen to catch the Tyson thing over the weekend?
No.
Oh my God.
I heard about it.
I was at a party where the guy that was there, he bought it. Like, I wasn't going to pay money for this thing. So we
Why?
Well, because they're all huge, very big basketball fans, and they were like, "Oh, Nate Robinson's going to fight that YouTube idiot." And I was like, "All right." what a mess the whole thing was.
Snoop Dogg called it, didn't he?
Snoop Dogg was one of three colored commentators.
I didn't see it, but I heard that he said something like they look like my uncle's fighting at a barbecue or something.
Yeah, he said that Tyson and Roy Jones look like his uncle's fighting at a barbecue.
That's funny.
Snoop also performed, and
yeah, he was great.
Yeah, and the whole broadcast was sponsored by Weed Maps. for all your cannabis needs.
Nice.
Fantastic.
I heard that Mike Tyson said he smoked some weed right before the fight.
Right.
Nice.
Well, and the judges scored a draw ultimately in a fight that Tyson like completely dominated, which was weird. And it also made me think, well, if that's how that was, they were going to score a draw the entire way. And if they're going to score a draw the entire way, the fact that they were accepting bets on this thing is a travesty.
Yeah.
And then,
corruption in boxing? No.
No, I know.
I know, right? What are the odds?
But it's not – they didn't see, the other thing was they didn't actually give a true – it wasn't a true result because none of the judges were like accredited boxing judges. They were just former boxers that were scoring the fight. What else? Oh, and then, of course, Jake Paul knocking out Nate Robinson of – you know, slam dunk competition fake.
I think, Zach, you're underestimated. He didn't knock him out. He knocked him the fuck out. Like, he got decimated.
Yeah. Well, what happened was Nate Robinson got punched in the back of the head twice. And so first off, that's illegal. And Jake Paul should have been thrown out. But his brain was clearly loose. And then when he stood up the third time to be like, yeah, no, I got this. Just one decent punch to the head was going to knock him down, and it did.
Yeah, I mean, poor Nate Robinson. I've got some video here of it if you want to just – it's very short. It's
quite short.
Oh, jeez, man.
Yeah. Good night.
When you go down on your face like that, you're out. Like, that's it. You're done.
There was no question. There's so many good memes of that after it happened, of like him in a bed with a nightcap on and stuff like that. Just, I don't know. It feels, you know, what this reminds me of is bum fights. It reminds me a lot of that.
Yeah, right.
Well, like I have friends who are like legit fans of boxing, like as a sport. And every time there are we have these YouTube like grudge matches.
Yeah.
It's like they cry, like as boxing fans.
I'm not a huge boxing fan. Like, I will watch a big fight. I understand how good boxing is supposed to look. And like the Jake Paul Nate Robinson thing was just like there was no form to it at all. It was like you said, Mike, a street fight. It was they were street fighters trying to be boxers, so like they would throw a bunch of really bad punches, and then they would come together and hug.
And why did this thing take place? Why did it take place in the first place? This thing with those two
Tyson and
I know Tyson and Jones. That was like the other one, the Robinson and
undercards.
Okay,
and Jake Paul is trying to become some sort of professional boxer, and he's also just the biggest dickweed on the internet. So he gets enough. He'll get the clicks, he'll get the views.
Oh, so basically then he did this because people would want to see him get his ass beat. Is that kind of what it came down
right.
to?
Well, so sort part of it is it's a weird – so in the new form of celebrity in the world where – like there's Jake Paul. Does he have a brother or something?
Yeah, Logan Paul.
Logan Paul.
Oh, Logan Paul. I've heard that name.
They're all from your great state of Ohio, Mike. Or Greg.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
They just haven't moved to Florida yet, that's all.
So, I mean, as far as I know, and I know very little about either of them, but I think Logan Paul filmed a dead body and put it on YouTube.
He went to a Japanese suicide forest and filmed the dead body, yeah. But
I remember that, yeah.
But he, funnily enough, like Logan Paul used to be just as bad, but he has kind of corrected his ways, and he's more just like a generic bad. Like, both these kids started on Vine, and, you know, they were hilarious for being on Vine. And then they did all the prank videos, and then they go to YouTube and become big. And, you know, again, the worst parts of the millennial culture kind of all thrown into a bag.
Yeah.
Now Jake Paul is legitimately is trying to, like, make a professional boxer of himself while also being internet celebrity douchebag. So after the fight, he like calls out, "Oh, I want to fight Conor McGregor," and it's like, I would love to see that.
Yeah, there's
they're from Westlake. That's okay. That's Cleveland, basically.
Mm.
It's like a suburb. It's not 20 minutes from downtown. Wow.
Well, the whole idea is that, you know, because these guys have a social media following, and this applies to tons of women who are in reality competition shows, stuff like that, to where if they have, you know, hundreds of thousands, sometimes, if not more, if not, you know, sometimes in the millions of followers and views and tons of like that kind of stuff, where it's their credentials and a built-in audience that's guaranteed to get you your money. So a lot of young people don't know who the hell Mike Tyson is. They may have seen him in The Hangover or something, but they don't really know or care who he is. He's just another old man. And, you know, say, whereas this guy, it's like, well, I know vaguely who that guy is, at least. I'll tune in just for the memes, you know? Like, it's
The Jake Paul army.
Yeah.
The worst parts of the internet. But for Tyson's credit, Tyson looked good for being a 54-year-old man. And Roy Jones looked old.
Yeah.
Very, like, after two rounds, you could see that Roy Jones was just tired. And Tyson was just ready to kill him, but because it was an exhibition match, I don't think Tyson was ever going to kill him. But
yeah, I mean, boxing is like one of those things that it is deceptively exhausting to watch, to where obviously there's really good fights and there's really impressive athleticism when you're at the elite levels, but then, you know, as you get into 3, 4, 5 rounds or whatever, like, the guys are clearly exhausted. And I mean, I don't know boxing that well. I've seen a shitload of boxing movies, but that's about that's about the depth of my knowledge. You know, when I've sat down to watch like real fights, they've always been like Ali or like Tyson's hits. And Tyson, when he was big, his matches ended one round, couple rounds. Yeah. He was knocking the fuck out, and that was it. And that was awesome. People paid hundreds and hundreds of dollars to watch him. But
yeah, I remember watching him fight Michael Spinks. This was like in the early 90s, I think. And it was a big deal. I mean, it was like, you know, Michael Spinks is the heavyweight number one contender. And they came out, and the whole fight lasted, I think, 1 minute and 9 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tyson knocked that dude sillier than shit, and that was the end of it. It was just I think boxing, you know, back in the 80s and stuff, and 70s especially, and even further back, but it was a lot bigger than it is now, because I don't know if it was more organized or they just had people that were had a more marquee value, like Sugar Ray Leonard or – you know, Mike Tyson, Ali before that, Tommy Hearns, you know, guys like that. Yeah. You don't see that as much now, but I don't know.
Well, the guys you're talking about, though, Greg, they're mostly all heavyweights, right?
Yeah.
And today's star boxers, your Floyd Mayweathers, if you want.
Right.
They're all more technical, lighter weight guys. And, like, I don't know if you guys ever watched the McGregor-Mayweather thing they did. But or even Mayweather Pacquiao, it's, you know, people were going like, oh, this is gonna be the fight of the century. These two greats. And you tune in, and if you're somebody that doesn't really understand the intricacies of the beautiful dance that is a boxing match,
the sweet science,
right? You look at it and you're like, that guy is trying to not punch the other guy. Like, Mayweather's whole thing is he's expert at not getting hit, not necessarily like knocking you the hell out on the other side. Just, he doesn't get hit. He gets his little punches in, and over time he's going to wear you down, and he'll beat you like 102-10 because you never touched him and he got you anytime he wanted to.
So he's the New Jersey Devils of boxing. Okay.
Right. Whereas, like, you know, the Tysons or even the Alis, it was, you know, these just big hunks of humans blistering the hell out of each other. And so now, like, your heavyweights are, you know, guys you don't hear of. I think, like, there was a good, oh, God, who was it? Just a couple months ago. British, black British dude. I can't remember his name. Try to sort of revive the heavyweight for a minute.
Well, but I know
nobody has the staying power of Tyson anymore. So
in the 80s, before Tyson came along in the 80s, like the marquee weight class was like, I guess, middleweight is what I'm going for. That's where like Ray Leonard and Marvin Hagler and Tommy Hearns and those guys were all in that weight class. And that was like the marquee, you know, like the Sugar Ray Robinson or Sugar Ray Leonard versus, was it Marvin Hagler, I think, was one like huge, like one of the big events of like 1987, yeah. If I remember right.
I think also just in today's day, we have more to do, right?
Yeah,
And not even just more sports, but specifically more combat sports. Like boxing doesn't own the corner anymore. You have all the different variations of MMA, whether it's UFC or Bellator or whatever you want to throw out there. There's so many combat fighting sports out there that take the spotlight away. And so it's not like not everybody's just waiting. Oh, I'm saving up my money to bet on the Mayweather fight, or saving up my money to bet on the Tyson fight.
Right.
You're putting money down on little fights here and there every weekend.
Yeah. But back then it was because cable was in its infancy basically back then.
Yeah. That's
Big debuts of pay-per-view. That was a big thing then.
Right. And, you know, a Hagler-Leonard fight was, like, huge because they were, you know, like, number one contenders or whatever. And
there's a pay-per-view every single weekend. And, like, that's why, like, when you look at UFC, UFC is like a UFC 275.
Yeah.
Where were the other ones?
Like, yeah, you know.
And those ones.
And back then you would get, okay, maybe – you'd get Hagler and Leonard in April, and you wouldn't see another big fight until August probably or something along those lines, right? Because it's just how we, but I just remember that when Sugar Ray Leonard beat Marvin, because people thought Marvin Hagler, I don't know if you guys know who he is. He was this middleweight boxer. He had a shaved head and he just looked like he reminded me of Mike Tyson. Like you just look at him, he's like getting beat by these guys. And Ray Leonard was like a points boxer. He wasn't like a knockout guy. I thought Hagler was going to destroy him, and Leonard ended up winning, and it was huge news. But I digress. Anyway, yeah, I didn't see either one of the fights, but I heard that the Tyson and was it Jones?
Yeah, Roy Jones.
Yeah, not much to see.
No. Yeah, so that's the other thing too, is that like hype now is such a big deal, and like generally, you know, you can hype machine the hell out of any major event. And, you know, unless it's like a TV show, like a scripted big production thing, it's probably going to be a disappointment. In boxing, that's the main thing. It's like these guys have been training for 2 years for this fight. Everything's on the line. And then they get in there and it's just like, you guys going to hit each other?
Stop hugging.
Boxing would be the number one sport in the world if boxing matches were as exciting as Rocky movies.
Right. You think about those Rocky movies, and if you made that happen in real life, those dudes would not survive. They wouldn't.
One thing I want to ask you guys regarding boxing, since we're on the subject, is we're in a different world now as far as like people's awareness of head injuries, and I feel like there's generally like – I mean, this may be – you know, I hate speaking for everybody, but I feel like on a cultural level, people are generally less interested in seeing, I don't want to say violence, but like, you know, it's not as like romantic to see a dude get punched in the head and then, you know, crumble and have his head pound off the mat again. It just, there's always going to be an audience for that. But as far as like with boxing specifically, when you're just going for the guy's temple, trying to knock him the hell out, it just doesn't feel good. You know, I feel like that's not something people tune in for as much as
I think
maybe
that
we 20 years ago.
We've lost a substantial portion of the bloodlust audience, and that's a good thing, I think, where in the old days you just wanted to see some guy get knocked out because you just didn't see it very often.
Yeah.
But speaking of the MMA stuff and all that, I read an article a few years ago, and it may have changed by now, but do you believe that there are less injuries in MMA fighting than there is in like boxing or in football.
In MMA, you're not trying to hit people in the head every single time.
And in MMA, you've got submissions, which
wrestling components,
which cut down on headshots or body shots. So, yeah, I totally buy it. I totally buy it. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I agree. Because like you just look at the Nate Robinson thing. We're like, yes, clearly Nate Robinson. That was his first professional fight ever. He trained, but he's a basketball player his whole life, and. You know, you just get a couple knocks to the head the wrong way, and down you go. Good night. Like that's it.
I don't think you can step into that arena. I'm sure neither one of these guys were like well trained, but to decide, okay, I'm a basketball player today, but starting next week, I'm going to be an MMA fighter. I don't know how long he took to train, but I think anything short of like 3 or 4 years, and you're probably just asking to get your brains kicked in. No matter how hard you try.
I've got a champion, Dennis's suggestion. We need to bring back the WWF Brawl for All. That was clearly amazing.
I'm down.
So if you do, the Brawl for All was one of wrestling's most fascinating experiences, and I know that Zach's probably like dying inside that wrestling's been brought up. But it's just to be brief.
The Rock on this weekend?
So the Brawl for All was essentially wrestling trying Stone to be Cold. Legitimate. In wrestling, had a tournament of real life boxing matches between wrestlers and
it was this weird combination of MMA and boxing where it was like MMA rules, but they wore boxing gloves.
Okay, right?
Yeah.
And essentially, the last fight was one guy versus what, Butterbean?
Yeah. Bart Gunn versus Butterbean.
And Butterbean knocked him the fuck out in like 30 seconds.
At WrestleMania, it was.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. And again, it's just. Anyway, so it's a very kind of sad thing to watch happen because Butterbean is like – he's like a human just blob of beef, you know, that just knocks you – like he doesn't take much.
You're being very generous. He's a big blob of fat.
Yeah. And he knocked this pro wrestler out in like 30 seconds.
I don't doubt it.
But it's hilarious actually when you look at it and like you look at how it transpired, and it's like the tournament was a mess because people would like win matches but get injured over the course of winning them. So then like the losers from those matches would advance, and it was just an absolute fucking shambles. Apparently, according to Vince Russo, the whole thing was just done to embarrass John Bradshaw, John Layfield. Because he was going around bragging how he could beat anyone, he could beat anyone in the locker room up in a fight, and then so like Vince Russo wrote this like actual legit fighting tournament just so someone would have an opportunity to knock him on his ass.
I gotta get the wheel ready for today's spin the wheel McDeal. Speaking of which,
yeah, we should probably move on to out of the sweet science and the wrestling and the other stuff and get into some football here because
the National COVID League,
right?
You know, God bless the NFL when they were like, we are going to brute force this thing. They were not.
Do you want to know the latest? Here's the latest as things stand right now. So tonight we have Monday Night Football, regularly scheduled Seahawks and Eagles. Wednesday afternoon, I should say, at 3:40 Eastern time will be Ravens Steelers. As the Ravens go on their ninth consecutive day with a COVID test, positive COVID test on the team, which brings them up to 21 total players and coaches, and they only have 35 available players on their 53-man roster.
What
so.
Did they think was going to happen when this happened? I just don't understand this.
Well, yeah, because now we're in a spot where they've already jumbled up games at the beginning of the year, right? So now they keep they're trying to brute force this Ravens Steelers game because there's nowhere else to put it. So Ravens Steelers is on Wednesday, in the afternoon, not a night game because NBC's already locked into broadcasting the Christmas tree lighting in Rockefeller Center that night. So can't
bump that. They are.
So then the Steelers, who were supposed to play on Sunday against the football team, that game has now been moved to Monday. Ravens Cowboys, which was supposed to be on Thursday, got moved to Monday, but because the Steelers-Washington game got moved to Monday. Ravens-Cowboys is now next Tuesday. So next week we will have games on – well, this upcoming week we have games on Wednesday, not Thursday, but then Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Oh, for
as of right now. You have to cancel this Wednesday game. Just get rid of it. I know the NFL is going to try to brute force it, and there's nowhere else to put it. I thought there was a contingency plan where, if they had to, they would move a game to, a quote-unquote week 18 and then get rid of the buffer week between the conference championships and the Super Bowl. So I don't know why they're not pulling that trigger, because this is ridiculous.
This is what I don't know what they're – I'm sure they're locked into a very tough schedule or a very locked-in set of circumstances with Tampa and the Super Bowl. But really – before this thing started, someone should have sat down and thought it out and come up with the idea of, we probably need to throw in a couple X factor weeks here just in case.
And that's fluid,
that we can move if we need to.
Let's put the Super Bowl in Florida during the COVID outbreak. Fantastic.
No, dude, there's nowhere else. I mean, where's you going to put it? It's an outbreak everywhere.
it's
there's everywhere. Nowhere to hide right now.
South Dakota.
Even worse.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's just so curious too as to what the leagues.
What's Montana looking like?
Not great either.
No, the whole upper Midwest is basically a COVID apocalypse.
Well, it's just so curious as to what the NFL's threshold is for postponing games, because you have this Ravens thing where they were able to postpone it. Postpone the Thanksgiving night game, and then we've postponed it four times now.
Yeah.
But yet the Broncos have to go into Sunday with
no quarterbacks
because they all tested positive. And so they have to get a guy who last played quarterback regularly in high school, a practice squad wide receiver, to go in with no practice reps against an NFL team. The Colts were missing almost all of their regular offensive line starters. Hell, we had that game early in the year where I remember the Raiders' entire defense was being quarantined, but then they still were ready to play on a Sunday. So, there's no rhyme or reason to any of these NFL decisions, and I think that's what's most maddening to me, is that there's no protocol. You're just kind of saying, well, fuck, let's see if this sticks.
Well, the problem I'm having with it is, do you really think that if, say, five guys – on a team test positive, I don't know how they do the meetings and all that stuff, but at some point or another, they're all in the same facility. They're all within reasonable proximity of each other. What makes you think if you pull those five guys, and again, with the way this disease works, you could be exposed. And I mean, this could literally just keep snowballing. Say on a team like the Ravens, we're just going to keep going and going and going because this guy got it.
21 guys right now that test positive.
Yeah, and you might have
somehow by moving this game from Tuesday to Wednesday.
That's what I mean. I don't get what that's supposed to do.
What is
that going to change?
It's kicking the can. It's buying the league time to make a decision, because essentially every decision they make is going to set the bar for further decisions. You know,
that's fine if it's a weather related thing where you go, okay, it's going to snow like a son of a bitch on Tuesday, but Wednesday looks good. We'll move the game there. A thing where you're going, okay, we've got 21 infected players. And if we move it to Wednesday, what, there's no chance that the other 34 or however many will not get it? I mean, come on. I've been saying it from the start. If you've got to do it like this, it's not worth doing. And the NFL, for a while, they looked like they were going to just plow through this thing and be like, we're the NFL. Fuck you. We're going to do this. And it'll all be fine. Well, guess what? It's starting not to be all fine all of a sudden. That thing in Denver, for as much fun as it was a disaster, a complete absolute disaster.
The league can't have that. I mean, but there was – so Drew Locke's mom, I guess, made a post on Twitter a little bit ago talking about – because a lot of people have been saying that the – correct me if I'm wrong here, but the Broncos quarterbacks weren't cooperative when they were doing contact tracing, and that there's essentially this complete deferral of responsibility on their end.
Something like that. And none of them were wearing masks at the time that they were exposed. Like, they weren't they weren't doing all they could to prevent themselves from being in that situation.
Right. So basically what she said was that they all got together to watch film, that the four quarterbacks got together to watch film. They didn't wear masks. And I guess there was just somebody in their families, one of their families, that got him tested or got him infected. But I guess Drew Locke himself is not – did not test positive.
That's not true, though. Or I guess
This is what his mom is saying. I don't know.
I don't know.
I haven't vetted any of this. This is Adam Schefter retweeted it, so it's, I assume it's his mom.
I just view the whole thing as like this is the perfect metaphor game for the Broncos since Manning retired. They don't have a quarterback.
Never more evident than it was on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, far be it from me as a Cleveland Browns fan to feel bad for the Broncos, but yesterday I felt bad for the Broncos. I really did. Did they have fans at the game? I don't remember.
In Denver?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, okay. But essentially the NFL told this team, you're going to go out there with literally no chance of winning this game. Because we know that this poor bastard, what's his name, Kendall Hinton?
Yeah.
He's, like you said, he played quarterback in high school.
Yeah, he was state championship quarterback in high school, and I think he was he was a quarterback wide receiver hybrid at Wake Forest or something like that.
Okay, that's not playing the New Orleans Saints in an NFL situation, especially when you haven't done it in however many years. So the NFL just said, you've got to go out there and you're going to take it in the ass for the rest of the league because we know you can't win.
Right.
I mean, it would have been great if they had, but there was no way they were going to.
That's part of my question, though. How can you keep kicking this Ravens-Steelers game down the road 4 or 5 days at a time, but you can't move the Saints-Broncos game to Monday or Tuesday?
Or better yet,
the Broncos sign a quarterback so that they can at least read the playbook before they go out on the field.
Or better yet, put the Ravens or whoever the team is, put them in the same situation the Broncos were in. I mean, I don't want to say it's because one guy's Drew Locke and the other one's Lamar Jackson, but I got to think that's got to be part of it. Because, look, I mean, the situations are similar. Maybe not exactly the same, but they're similar enough where you go, you know what, neither one of these teams should be playing, or they both have to play under the circumstances. But you can't say to the Broncos, screw you. We don't care that your quarterback isn't really a quarterback. You're going to go out there and you're going to play. Oh, the Ravens, you've got one of the biggest stars in the league. We'll keep trying to push this down the road to make sure we don't lose you. That doesn't seem right to me. And I'm not saying that's what happened, but it sure looks like it.
So Pro Football Talk said earlier, they mentioned that there is a source told this person, the person made this count, that there's some players that may not play regardless of when it's rescheduled. So it's going to be an ugly NFLPA thing at some point.
And I mean, even the Steelers, after the first cancellation, which was on Thursday night, Steelers players came out and said, this is bullshit, because I think we all know, had it not been the Ravens in a marquee game, they're going to probably play whatever version of the Denver Broncos, for example, that you can trot out there and put on the field, regardless of the situation. But it just seems to me like if it's a star team, we've got to do everything we can to get the game in, no matter how long we have to keep kicking it down the road. Whereas if it's the Broncos with Drew Locke and whoever the hell else is on that team. Is that other dude from Northwestern? Is he still there? You know what I'm talking about, Zach. I can't think of his name.
I don't know who their quarterback is.
Anyway, it just seems to me that you can't.
Is Paxton Lynch still there? I don't know.
God, that'd be funny, wouldn't it? It just seems to me that, LME says the Broncos are lying. Okay, so 5,700 fans showed up at that game yesterday to watch a game they knew their team had no chance of winning.
Well, it's kind of a historical thing.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that, you know, if I was in Denver and, you know, I had an opportunity, it's like, let's see what it's like to see a team play football without a quarterback.
But it's not legitimate, though, to me. It kind of delegitimizes what they're putting on the field. It's like, this isn't really an NFL team.
It's like we've been saying, the NFL this entire season has been, damn the consequences, we're going to brute force this. No, we're not doing a bubble. No, we're not going to try to make it as safe as possible. We're just going to brute force the season. We're going to make it work. And this is right along with it. It's like, you don't have a quarterback, Denver? Fuck you. Like, go out and play. Like, because that is what they are reducing everyone to. Like, that's exactly what this version of the NFL is. It is, we are going to finish this come hell or high water.
Yes, Dennis. Trevor Siemian's who I was thinking of. Okay.
Now he's on the Saints. Okay. God.
Backing up Jameis and Taysom Hill.
It's not like the Saints had a real quarterback on that day either.
That's what I'm saying. It was like the Bobby Douglas thing taken to its most ultimate conclusion here. I thought it was hilarious. Don't get me wrong, because I find things like that hilarious. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought that it just seemed to be a bit of a, what do they call it? You got sold a bill of goods a little bit if you were a fan, because they should have, if you could, here's my point. If you could move the Ravens Steelers game to Tuesday or whatever, you could have done the same thing with Broncos Saints. I don't see the problem there. And I think fair is fair. And the Broncos kind of got screwed. And the Ravens and the Steelers, because they're marquee teams, are like, yeah, we'll do what we can do for you guys.
Yeah, the Broncos thing, as I look at it too, the Rams ran into this when they early in the year when they were kind of flip-flopping on their kickers, that any new player that comes into the organization has to be quarantined for a certain amount of days. And so they couldn't just sign like a quarterback off the street. It had to be somebody that would be available within the next 4 or 5 days. So I guess this Hinton guy was the only one that had ever thrown a football before. And
well, here's an idea. I mean, and this is something that they kind of knew about going into this.
Taxi squad.
A taxi squad type thing where you're always going to have – just pick a – I don't know, Colin Kaepernick and one of the McCowns got to be out there, right? There's like 14 of them. Pick a couple of them. Put them in a pool that in a bubble, actually, and keep them there and say, okay, these guys are here. They're disaster quarterbacks, which they are in more ways than one, but still.
This is exactly why the NFL needs to adopt the NHL's policy of the emergency players.
Oh, come on.
Well, apparently the Broncos tried to get some sort of offensive control coach to be like signed for a day to do it, and the NFL wouldn't let them do it.
You need this case where, like, the Broncos are like, well, we're down to the emergency quarterback. Like, let's get some accountant. Yeah. Like, I know, high school football.
You're
trying to do the beer league goalie situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Scott Fisher step in and say, but I mean, that's not really, you know, and hockey, it's one thing to have an emergency goalie because at least it's just completely instinctive and reactive. And you could just kind of say, good luck, pal. But with a quarterback, it's like, here's our offense. We spent months putting in the system. Good luck. I mean, like, it's one thing to have a pool of, like, I feel like there's no point in having a pool of receivers or tight ends or whatever. You have to have a pool of quarterbacks. I mean, the league is quarterbacks. And if you have a pool of quarterbacks that are just like a gumball machine of protected quarterbacks for when this inevitably was going to happen, it was always going to happen. And the NFL didn't give a shit because I guess they just felt kind of invincible. But speaking of football atrocities, I need to use this platform briefly to apologize to everyone who 4 times this season have had to watch the Chicago Bears attempt to play a professional football game. thankfully, they did beat the Buccaneers in one of those games. So they beat Tom Brady. But last night, I've seen this movie before. I've heard this song before. Aaron Rodgers just beats the fuck out of the Bears, and they have no business being on primetime ever. And last night happens. And you know what's bad when you have the announcers, when you have Tony Dungy, and they're just kind of speaking apologetically for the Bears and saying, oh, you know, one step at a time, they'll get it figured out. And then Aaron Rodgers goes out there and just like slings a ball at God, and it looks, you know, impeccable. And it's just like, that's just, you know, that's what he does.
The Bears are only a game out of a playoff spot, you know?
Hey, I got a real quick question, Andy. They brought this up on the Bill Simmons podcast today. I want to get your take on it. Would you, if you were the Bears GM right now, give Houston 3 number one draft picks for Deshaun Watson?
No.
Okay. I thought that was a bit much myself.
You see, Greg, they could have picked Deshaun Watson the first time.
Well, I didn't want to do that.
One first round pick on him when they could.
Okay, better yet, Andy, would you give the Los Angeles Chargers via all the other places they're from, would you give them 3 number one picks for Justin Herbert?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. I think Justin Herbert's legit.
I do too.
But 3 first round picks?
They have to be like 3 in a row.
Come on, make the deal. What else are the Bears going to spend on?
Let me make this interesting. Let's say it's next year's, and then say 2024s and 2026s.
No, because what's going to happen is he's going to get here, and then he's going to tear his ACL, and he'll never be the same player.
And then, meanwhile, one of those picks will be like for like the next fucking, you know, Joe Montana or something. Right. It, yeah.
Speaking of which, by the way, the Chargers yesterday did something extremely odd. Did they win?
No.
I say at the end of the game, they had a Hail Mary play, which was caught.
Yeah.
At like down at like, what, the 3 or something? Mm-hmm. It's not the 1. Mm-hmm. And then they go for a QB sneak with Herbert. But the offensive line was not aware that it was a QB sneak. And so they drop back into pass protection. So Justin Herbert hurls himself between the center and the guard to try and go for the goal line while everyone else is dropping back. And just gets the piss knocked out of him.
Yeah,
this is that's peak Chargers. That's peak Chargers football.
And the whole thing with that whole sequence, because like Herbert dives in and then he picks it up and like gets everybody lined up again and then throws a quick pass. The time is like ticking down on the clock. They were down by 10, so it's not like they were like still in theory could have come back, I guess. But like they at no point did they decide to spike the football. They just kept like running plays, like hurry up offense. It was odd.
We really need a version of that with like a hastily edited Los Angeles.
Somehow that was the Bills' first win against the Chargers in 12 years.
My mistake. So it was the end of the game. There was 3 seconds left, and I'll just share the video over here so you guys can appreciate it.
Oh, let's watch.
So there's 3 seconds left, and Herbert is currently over here in shotgun, and I don't know if they can't hear him or something because he goes up to the line.
Yeah, this is the third play in a row where they didn't spike the ball. By the way,
right?
They just running the clock,
and so he goes up, and I think he's trying to tell sneak or something, or else he doesn't say shit, and then he snaps it. Now watch the line.
Oh,
and that's the end of the game. I mean, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. They were down.
I'm looking at the score. Like, what was even the point?
Right. Well, that was
best case scenario. They get it. And
that
then
was
what?
The end of that entire sequence that I'm talking about. They had the Hail Mary, and then it's like, oh, well, hey, run down and spike the ball. Well, no. Keep running your hurry up offense. Like, spike the ball. Get some time. What are you doing? They ran the ball and more time. And then there's an incomplete pass right before they run. Whatever that was.
I'd like to give them a little shout out for the Toledo Rockets throwbacks they were wearing yesterday to the Chargers. That was nicely done.
Look, only the Chargers could knock it out of the park by giving us the powder blue uniforms we've always wanted and then muddy it up with like, oh, also we're still going to be Navy sometimes because fuck you.
Right, and they like I sent you guys a text yesterday. I said they look just like the Toledo Rockets, and no, that's not a compliment.
No.
Again, from the school of folk that last week told us that pewter versus bone was the best uniform matchup they've seen all season.
Oh God.
People love these the Chargers all navy blues, and I just
why?
Yeah, Michael Walker's got a good point too. Kent State throwbacks. Yeah, those too, bud.
I don't know. Why?
I don't know, man.
I still can't even get over the bone versus pewter is the best uniform matchup. Like what?
Well, that person does not belong to our community. Therefore, we will ostracize them and not even give them
I want to yell at this person. Like,
no, I think the Chargers. I like the other blues that they're using, but not all of it. Like, you can't just go. We're gonna puke blue all over ourselves and go out with our white helmets. No, you got to mix it up a little bit. Like, I think the jerseys over white pants with that look would have looked great, but not like they did it. No. You know, it's just but that's the thing with the color rush uniforms. It's like for some reason we talked about it last week. No one wants to be the team that says we're going to take the jersey because we like it and put it with the pants that we think will look good. Nobody's doing that. Yeah. And here we are. But anyway.
So speaking of bad teams, I don't.
What was the time to talk about my Browns?
No, they won, Greg. They won.
Yeah.
So the New York Jets lost again. Not a big surprise, but I'm trying to think. I think this is like easily the worst possible winless team we've ever seen. And maybe, and I mean by talent level and just by all other metrics.
You guys weren't around for the Buccaneers the first go around, but that team was pretty, pretty terrible.
But like, they did win a game though.
Not
oh wait,
first,
no, they didn't.
They went 0-26 before they finally won.
Oh, okay.
I think about the Browns when they went 0-16. Like, they went 0-16, but it was like an entertaining 0-16.
Yeah.
I think the Admiral actually summed it up best as, like, it seemed like a lifetime achievement award for bad football. Like,
right.
You had a lot of bad seasons, and you're really not the worst team this year, but you're going to go 0-16 just to cap it all off nicely.
Well, just like an afterthought in every sort of like degree.
Yeah. That's true.
Like, nothing there.
No one's absolutely talking nothing about them. Yeah. And you watch them, they're god awful.
Yeah.
The one thing that I want to talk about when it comes to the Jets, and it's actually the same thing that I thought was interesting when the Browns went 0-16, is how do they stack up against the 0-8 Lions? Because I think the 0-8 Lions get overlooked a lot, but like that was a bad team that gave us the brilliant Dan Orlovsky running out of the end zone for a safety play.
Right. Like, I couldn't tell you whether one would beat the other or anything like that, but like there's nothing about this Jets team makes me even think like, oh, well, every NFL team can like dick around one day and accidentally win a game.
But no,
as Bill Simmons said in his podcast, they get up like 3-0 every game, and then that's like the only interesting thing about them. Because even when Sam Darnold's on the field, and Sam Darnold's supposed to be, you know, better, just not good. And they went with Joe Flacco for the last month, and he was equally bad.
The thing about this team is that. Their quarterback situation is awful. They've got like a burnt out Joe Flacco and Sam Darnold, who I think has talent, but has been utterly wasted by the major problem, which is Adam Gase is not a good football coach. He is possibly, now that Hugh Jackson is out of the league, the worst coach in the NFL.
Is Hugh Jackson still alive?
Yes, somewhere.
And he will always be the worst coach. He will always be the worst coach in the NFL, whether he has a job or not.
That's right, Zach. He's shilling for Cameo.
who wants a message from the guy who led the Browns to an 0-16 season?
I would pay him to be like, Greg, I am so sorry that I fucked your team up for 3 years.
You have no idea the amount of the depth that people that you just might, on the off chance, remember who this person is on Cameo. It's...
Oh, I've looked before. I've looked for one of our old boards cohorts has a Cameo account, believe it or not.
That does not surprise me in the least.
We're actual stars, and we don't have one, and he's got one. It's like, give me a fucking break.
Well, speaking of Adam Gase, I figured you guys might enjoy this. So he was in a very awkward moment during a press conference where he was caught in a lie, and he was arguing over play calling because he was the former lie
when he tried to insist that they're a real football team.
Look at that face. Does that inspire confidence or what? Come on.
So essentially, the reporter he's bantering with here is saying that they're basically saying that you were in charge of calling plays for this particular drive or several drives. And they're saying, no, it's Dowell Loggins. Dowell Loggins is my offensive coordinator. He was doing it. And they're like, no, he wasn't. So
we've done the same thing the last 4 years.
Sorry.
Watching Dowell for the whole game, he wasn't doing anything. I mean, he was just standing there.
He tells me it's not hard. This is not hard. We go through it the drive before.
I don't know. You're making it look pretty fucking hard.
I'd use the third downs.
So what happens after the three plays when you have a steer? Because we were watching one where Dowell was talking to Frank Pollock. He wasn't calling the plays. You were.
What part of the game was it?
I want to say that was the third quarter.
Yeah, when we got down, then I was trying to do some of the 2 minutes stuff.
What?
Anyway, so
what even is this guy?
So, like, again, I know it's not as funny as maybe as you would think, but it's more of just like
it's cringe. Like, I'm the type of person who, if I'm watching like a movie and there's like an awkward moment in the movie, I kind of like cringe and just wait for it to pass. Like that whole thing right there, that press con, like I wanted that to be over. Like,
yeah, it's kind of hard because I mean it's you can tell that he doesn't feel comfortable. And I mean, this is he had that face of somebody who's in his mind and in his soul saying, "I just want to go home. I just want to go home. Exactly. I don't want to do it anymore. I just want to go home."
I like when he's like, when he says something like, "It's not hard." I'm thinking like, maybe you should try harder. Like,
well, I think what that was a like brain synapse firing of coach speak. Yeah. Where these guys all have a giant word salad in their of simple, you know, footballism. Yeah. And essentially he was like panicking because like, oh, that guy actually paid attention. It's not hard.
He's just playing like football coach clip 01 on repeat, basically.
Typical, like, you know, debase the media. You guys don't know what you're doing. You guys. And I fucking, is one of my biggest pet peeves is when any sort of athlete or coach says, you know what, you're not in this locker room. You're not. have you ever played football? Have you ever played the game? Right.
Well, you watched a bunch of it.
But. It's like, when were you ever on an NFL field? You don't know.
I may not have been, but I'm still smart enough. I know enough about football to know that calling a draw play on 4th and 12 is not a good idea.
I've never played football, but I still can tell you that the New York Jets are god fucking awful.
Like, I was watching that clip of Gase, and I just thought about it. Here's a guy that is not comfortable. He's not comfortable with that kind of attention. So where's the best place in the world to send him? Why, of course, to New York, where he's going to be under nothing but that kind of attention. And then you have a team that's 0-10 on top of it. I'm surprised he held up as well as he did.
So the question, of course, is they're 0-10. Do they go 0-16? Like, does this team win a game?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little concerned, boys. I'm a little concerned.
Why?
Because my Cleveland Browns have one going to stick their head up their asses game that they should win easily and lose this year.
So do you think the Cleveland Browns lose to the New York Jets?
It almost happened yesterday to the Jags, and they somehow managed to pull it out.
No, I don't think so, man.
Okay, like, I hope you're right.
Not this Jets team. Like, there's literally nothing there. Well,
like, that's the thing. I'm not even sure this is a football. Like, they're only more of a football team by the fact that they technically do have quarterbacks, like, compared to the Broncos. But, like,
the only obstacle to 0-16 right now is my Cleveland Browns. I think that's it. Other than that, they can get there, yeah.
Yeah, they're gonna get there.
Of course, after it happens, right? We then have to have the discussion where it's like 08 Lions, 2016 Browns, or 2020 Jets. Like, who is the worst 0-16 team? And I think this Jets team might be up there. I think, because like Zach said, they're bad. Like,
real bad.
It's not even a case where it's like I don't know, like Zach, you said it best. Like, there's nothing there where there's just.
I don't like you. You think
there's name? There are people in jerseys, but yeah,
some football teams can accidentally win a football game at least once a year.
Yeah,
and Greg thinks it'll be against the Browns, but I don't think this Jets team has the accidental win in them. I just think, like, there's nothing there, you know?
You know what? I will take solace in the fact that both the 2016 0-16 Browns and the 2020 potentially 0-16 Jets both accomplished these in god awful Nike uniforms. Therefore, making the classic uniforms that were abandoned look all the better by comparison. So let's
look at some numbers here for historically bad.
I think we should have a tournament of all the 1 and 0 win teams. We probably could find enough to do.
Well, so here's the 1976 Bucks are the gold standard for trash.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Minus their point differential of -287, and they played two fewer games. So that's pretty bad.
Isn't that the one where the coach was like, "What do you think about your team's execution?" And he said, "I'm all for it."
I'm all for it. Yeah, John McKay, one of the great lines ever. I'm all for it.
And so the Jets currently are they're -170.
They can make that. They got 6 games to bump that up.
Yeah, five more games of that. Sure.
They're competing with the 2008 Lions that were -249. The 2017 Browns, like you said, not too bad, -176. And the 2009 Rams, which are to -261. So they got a little ways to go, but it is very possible. It depends on how much of a beating they take the rest of the way.
Let's see. Who do they play?
So really we got the NFC East, which is just sort of a collective just parade of failure and sadness.
Yeah.
Here come the New York Football Giants have moved into first place at 4-7.
Yeah,
Yes, sir.
Washington.
Yep.
And guys, I'm looking at their schedules. Washington has a tough go. Washington has the 49ers after their bye. They have a bye this week. Then it's the 49ers in Arizona, because again, due to COVID, San Francisco or the 49ers can't play in Santa Clara County for probably the rest of the season.
Yeah. So
then they host Seattle, they host Carolina, and then they're at Philly. Not an easy slate for the Washingtons. The Giants are at Seattle, home against Arizona, home against your Cleveland, Greg, at Baltimore, and home against Dallas.
Can they do three, or what would they have to do, 2-5 out of that? Can they do that?
Oh, yeah.
Can you get me two more wins out of that schedule?
Seattle, no. Arizona, no. Cleveland, no.
Yeah, I think they can beat the Browns. I think they can beat the Browns.
Oh, God. Oh, come on, Greg. The Browns are a good team this year. Come on.
No, you know what? No, they're not, and I'm going to show you why they're not right now.
This is going to be ridiculous. The Browns are going to be holding the Lombardi Trophy in the year, and Greg's going to be like, they're a bad team, I swear.
No, I'm going to point out something to you guys, and you're going to go, oh, wow, maybe they're not very good. You have, of all the playoff teams and the teams on the outside looking in, exactly two of them are in the minus in the point differential. My Cleveland Browns, and thanks to an ass beating by the Falcons yesterday, the L.A. Vegas Raiders.
But, Greg, you know that, like, the Browns' loss comes from, like, that huge beatdown to Baltimore in week one.
And the huge beatdown to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And what do those two teams have in common?
Okay, they're both good. Doesn't mean that the Browns aren't good. It just means that they're not better than the Steelers.
They could beat the Steelers, I think, on the right day.
Okay, well,
this is weird. Greg's like, the Browns can beat the Steelers on the right day, but the Jets are going to lose.
No, what I said was, I said it scares me because they always have one head up our asses, should have won this game and didn't every year. And I'm looking at the schedule going, oh, my God, it's going to be the Jets. It's going to be the Jets.
No.
I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I am. But, the Giants scare me because the Giants are frisky, and they're going to be playing them in New York. You don't know what the weather's going to be. It could be interesting. I'm not saying they're going to lose to the Giants, but that's the one that would worry me.
Yeah, so the Browns don't win by a whole lot. Like, it's 4-5-7, but then it's like they lost by 36 to Baltimore, and they lost by 31 to Pittsburgh.
Oh, so that minus 21 doesn't look so bad at all now.
Right, yeah. That's 60 points.
All right, well, I retract my statement. Remove it from the record, please.
take those two games out and they're a plus 40. It's fine.
All right, fine. So they're good. I don't think that I think they're good, but they're like not next level good.
No, they're a playoff team.
They're a stuff team. A stuff playoff team. Well, let's not get into the bog of the Cleveland Browns. We'll be here all day.
Yeah. Do you guys want to do the wheel while we're on subject of football? Okay. So just to give you a scoring.
How'd we do last week?
So it was a grim week for everyone but Mike. To be fair though, Mike, you had Bears Packers, so it wasn't like you had some. Nostradamus, you are not. But Zach went with the Lions, which was a huge mistake.
I thought about that as soon as we logged off. I was like, wait a second. Oh, no.
Didn't Matt Patricia get fired after that game?
And the GM.
And the GM.
Yeah, it's about time.
And Lions, a bunch of former Lions players on Twitter were celebrating.
Yeah, I know. They were like, don't let the door hit the ass. Bye-bye.
Yeah. I have never seen so many players come out to celebrate a coach's firing than I did that.
I wonder what his problem was. Anyway, let's not get caught
up. He's just an egotistical asshole from what I heard. Greg, you had 49ers-Rams. You chose the Rams.
For Pete's sake.
Poorly.
Thanks, Zach.
Well, the 49ers have some sort of like cheat code against the Rams that I don't really understand. Like the Rams just play terribly against them.
I will say thank you to the Rams for this. You gave me 18 fantasy points yesterday on your defense, and I really needed them. So thank you for that.
The offense was bad.
I had Panthers Vikings, and the Panthers lost by 1 point. So that was
the Vikings now one game out of a playoff spot, which is.
Yeah, remember when the NFC was looking like really good, and all of a sudden now it's not. We'll see. It's a Chiefs world, and we're all just living in it. I mean, my God, is that team good?
Yeah. The Chiefs are better than the undefeated team in the league right now.
By a long shot.
Yeah.
I would take, if they said, okay, the Chiefs are going to play the Steelers in Kansas City and the point spread's 10, I'd be like, give me the Chiefs. I would.
Well, the win is the top of the thing right now is Mike is up 7. He has he's 7-2 in his picks. Greg right behind at 6-3. Zach at 5-4, and I am dragging the ass of this machine 4-5. I am sub 500.
A three game gap, Andy. How are you going to make that up?
I'm going to claim that I've won.
There you go. Cheap,
by a lot.
The Mike one were illegal.
Just blame Mike or I for at 4 o'clock in the morning switching all your games to losses. Yeah. There you go.
So I hope that who knows which of these games is going to be COVID related or not, but
it gets played.
This is Zach's game here for week 13. The Bears.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Which one?
No.
Lions, Bears.
Bears, noon kickoff.
Oh, my. God. Okay, so we have the Lions, first game with a new coach. You have the Bears, free-falling, Trubisky back in the saddle. Where is this game being played?
Chicago.
Chicago. Bears.
You're going with the Bears?
Yeah.
That did not sound confident.
No.
Why? There's no reason to be confident. Both teams suck. Both teams are. But there is something weird about. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, I would go with the Lions just on the we fired a coach that we fucking hated. We'll play better now aspect of the whole thing.
Maybe.
Man.
We'll see.
No, Bears.
Last chance. Okay.
Bears.
Okay.
This is for Mike.
All right. Do it.
Between the Bills and the 49ers.
Ooh.
I have been saying that the Bills are not a good team, but I'm going to completely backtrack and I'm going to pick them for this one.
The Bills are not a good team, but I'm going to pick them to win.
Yes. I don't know. The 49ers have not been all that impressive, so Bills.
And then they're playing that in Arizona, right?
Yeah. Is that a home game? Yeah,
in Phoenix or whatever. Yeah. All right, this is my game. Please.
So this season's so weird.
Oh, Browns Titans. That's tough. God.
Oh, that's an easy one.
At Titans.
I'll trade you. I'll take this one.
No, I'll live with the card I've hand of dealt. So what?
If you like running games, this is the game to watch. If you want to see old school football, this is the one to watch.
So the Browns beat the Jags by 2, and the Titans beat up a COVID depleted Colts.
I'll take the Titans at home. I think Derrick Henry's just something else. He's a beast. I'll take the Titans in a real close one. Let me see here.
That's what I would have picked.
All right, and finally, Greg, here's your pick, sir.
Please, sir, may I have a pick?
Patriots and Chargers. Jeez, are you talking about
this fucking week? All of these games are just
bad. I'm going
with the San Diego of Los Angeles Superchargers in this one because Justin Herbert's better than Cam Newton is right now, and that's all I got.
Okay,
is it real or is there just like crap games this week? Let me look. Browns Titans, Rams Cardinals. Bills 49ers should be a good game in theory.
The 49ers, Arizona 49ers of Santa Clara out of San Francisco. That's pretty good, Gary. Nice job.
Yeah. I'll
put that on the screen for everybody to see.
Yeah, the Rams play the Cardinals on Sunday in Glendale, and then the Bills play the 49ers on Monday in Glendale. So.
Oh.
That's fun.
Yeah.
There's really no other sports stuff I got. I mean, I mentioned.
If you guys wanted to, we never really got to it in the in the other uniform news. But if you guys wanted to talk about this, we could talk about the Dallas Stars abominations that they vomited upon us.
Real quick, before we leave football, I just want to point out that we had our first ever woman play in a Power 5 college football game over the weekend. How about that?
For Vanderbilt.
Yep.
Like, honestly, I'm surprised we haven't seen this before. Now.
Right, yeah. We just never seen it in, like, the SEC or the Big Ten.
Sure, but I even mean, like, in the NFL. Like, if you're like, say, a former player for the women's national soccer team, you know, the U.S. women's soccer team, they know how to kick a ball pretty damn far, pretty damn straight. You know, why not? Like, I know Carly Lloyd is, like, a big Eagles fan, and she went to a training camp, I think, 2 years ago now. And they says, "Hey, you're here. Why don't you come kick some field goals after practice?" And she kicked them like a 55-yarder straight down the middle. Right. That's what you do for your job. I'm like, again, it was the question we always had when Alabama would never have a good kicker. Can Nick Saban just not like go down to the damn soccer field and find someone to kick it through the
speaking of soccer players kicking footballs, you wanna know how bad the Thanksgiving slate of games was this year?
How bad was it?
Instead of watching Washington Dallas, I just watched The Replacements.
Well, same idea. The 32s won that game, right? They're talking about the New York Football Giants.
I think so. Yeah.
I watched it, a little bit of it here and there.
NBC replaced its nighttime broadcast of Steelers Ravens with a dog show.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
It's been a big year for the ladies. We got first female elected vice president. We got the first female general manager in baseball in Kim Ng. Mm-hmm. And now you have
a couple other things too. I've seen a lot of women officiating NFL games, which is great.
Yep, a couple coaches along the way.
Cleveland had the first female position coach over the weekend.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Right on.
Good stuff. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were disappointed that she did this kicker. Who, what's her name again? It escaped me.
Fuller. I can't remember her first
Sarah
name.
Sarah Fuller.
Yeah. So they hype it up. She's got a helmet on that says, you know, play like a girl, and it's this big moment, and then she comes out and they just make her do a squib. It's like, come on.
Yeah, let her drill one. I mean, she was sitting I guess she's pretty good, got a good strong leg, but yeah, let her kick one.
Didn't Vanderbilt get shut out in that game?
Yes. Yeah, there was no opportunity for a field goal or extra point or anything like that. So it was just kind of a
Didn't they fire their coach after the game too because they were terrible? They're like 0-8 or whatever?
I mean that is sort of the thing. It's like, congratulations, you made history and all that, and this stuff is wonderful. Now, congratulations, you play for Vanderbilt. So,
right. Well, she's no man in Rio. I'll tell you that.
Hey, she was named literature degree. She was named SEC Special Teams Co-Player of the Week. So
good for her. Yeah, I think that might have been more because of what you did than what you know.
Right. No, it's a non-performance. Symbolic.
Yeah, symbolic. I think but that's fine. That's good.
Yeah. No, it's excellent. I feel like there's room for this. You know, it's one thing to have like. Do they have like I know tennis? They famously had a bunch in the 60s and 70s tennis matches, the intergender battles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Bowling, I think they've probably done it a fair amount.
I would think bowling's pretty even. I mean, I can't imagine what one would have over the other as far as advantage goes.
I mean, technically, like a guy would throw with more power, but yeah, the women can.
As someone who knows a little bit about bowling, it's not power; it's where you put the ball.
It's technique, I assume that I know so little about like for the professional bowling scene that I know that golf, obviously, there's different tees. There's like
They had Annika Sorenstam years ago played. I forget who she played, or she played in a men's tournament, and she started off pretty well, but I don't know if it just. I think playing well got to her or whatever, but she kind of fell apart. But for the first five or six holes, she was hanging right with them.
But men can just hit the ball farther. Like it's
I mean, some things are just the way they are because they're the way they are. There's nothing you can do about it.
But when it comes to the kicker position, especially and potentially the punter position, it's like there's really no distinction. I mean, not to effeminate the position of kicker or punter. It's just sort of like, you know, your position is not there to hit the other man. You are there to hit the ball far and straight. And
Kickers have to occasionally tackle? Sure, but when they do it, they don't look like they're the pros of that.
If you watch their Hunter Squibb kick, I think they made it pretty clear. Kick the ball, get the hell out of the way. You know, because I don't think they wanted her getting like run over or having to tackle someone or whatever. But
I don't know, man. If that becomes a normal thing, and I hope it does, to where ladies just kind of integrate to football and as special teamers, that if you were running a program, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I might get fired at the end of the season. So what do I got to lose? You know, it's like Mary Beth, you get in there, and I want you to just you and Big John Smith are just gonna have a little. We're gonna do some Oklahoma drill over here and. Just, you know, but get acclimated to physical contact, taking a hit, you know. And I mean, it's not that I'm not advocating for like get that bitch over there and smack the shit out of her with your football armor, you know. Like it's just like, you know, make it so it's like you can take a hit. You got all this pad on, you got all this helmet and shoulder pads and shit. You can get hit a little bit. It's okay, and it's a weird threshold to cross, but you know, I think that it's something that totally can be done, especially in college. And why not?
Yeah. I don't know. Like some of the lower levels in college have had women play. I think they're all been kickers up to this point, as far as I know.
I was looking into this yesterday a little bit. Everything I've seen is it's all kickers across the board, kickers, which is, you know, it makes sense. But
I remember when Coors Light was sponsoring an all women's baseball team called the Colorado Silver Bullets. I don't know if you guys ever heard of them.
Nice.
But they were going around basically barnstorming and playing like former minor league players. They actually played. I want to say they played in a league in the low A minor leagues for a while, but when I was living in Syracuse, they came in and played all these like former ball players and stuff. And they kicked the shit out of these guys. It was awesome to watch. They just beat the hell out of them. It was pretty cool. So you never know.
Yeah, I'm assuming obviously if you put a team full of, you know, professional volleyball players who are women against a men's team, I'm guessing the women probably kick their ass. You know, I mean there's that again, is that a sport? So, I mean, what's different in that? Is there anything different between the two?
The men are going to hit the ball harder. They can jump higher for spikes and all that. Yeah.
Men's volleyball is all about power and speed, and women's volleyball is a little bit more about placement and technique.
Yeah, it's like tennis in that respect.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the same thing. It's like the same thing between, not exactly the same thing, but men's basketball versus women's basketball. Like, yes, they're the same thing, but they're different.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I mean, from a basketball perspective, obviously, if you had a WNBA team going against an NBA team, the NBA team, and there was no like, you know, limitations on just the physicality, then, you know, the NBA team would just run roughshod.
Right. But if you eliminate dunks, you know, then if it's all about shooting, maybe you could make it a little bit closer. Sure.
But with volleyball, though, you're separated by the net. So, I mean, yeah, there's some. You know, I could see a David and Goliath situation to where you just have, you know, agility and strength, agility and grace.
A women's team could beat a men's team in volleyball, in theory, yes. But I would still put money on the men's team.
I would too. Having watched both, I would definitely put the money on the men's team. No knock to the women. They're very good. But
is there an untapped women's sports, like, thing that could be done that would really be like actually like legitimately successful? And I'm not talking like bra and panties football, you know, like some just tacky bullshit, like the lingerie bowl or whatever they do.
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah. I would like to see them make another go of the women's professional baseball league, like in League of Their Own. I think that there could be a market for that.
Yeah.
Not a huge market. I mean, I'm not saying it would be, that they'd be fighting with MLB for stadium rights and all that, but I think there would be a market for it. I think people would maybe watch it. I would. Maybe. I don't know.
I would think, like, obviously soccer's popularity in this country isn't the same as other sports, but I would have thought that with what the women's national soccer team has done, that if there was a women's team that could break through, it would be women's team sport that could break through, would be soccer, and that's just... They've tried a bunch of times, and they're really trying to give it a good, you know, real good college try more than they have before recently. But it still just isn't cracking the same sort of it still doesn't crack the same levels that the MLS does. And we know what the MLS does.
Huh. Well, what about something integrated? Like, what about – could we, like, you know, think outside the box, like maybe invent a sport or something. Like if slam ball can get on TV, then,
how's Quidditch looking?
I don't know about Quidditch. I know there are actual Quidditch teams.
I know,
on campuses.
It's fucking hilarious.
It's kind of sad. Curling, Roland Nolan there says in the chat, is curling.
Yeah, I've seen co-ed curling.
Yeah, they were doing that in the Olympics, weren't they?
They do. They have that in the Olympics. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Well, curling, greatest sport ever. I'm sorry.
Pool, darts.
Auto racing, but it's not – it's already integrated. I mean, with auto racing, you've got it. You know, like, right. I mean, there was a woman in the 70s and 80s, Shirley Muldowney, that won the NHRA championship a few times. So that you know, that's all been done already, basically.
Whatever happened to Danica Patrick? I haven't followed up with her career. I don't know.
Did she break up with Aaron Rodgers?
That I don't know. I know that career-wise, first off, she wasn't that great running in the IndyCar series or F1. I don't remember which. Maybe she was in both. I don't know. Maybe. But open wheel. She was okay. She won one race in Japan. And then she decided she was going to come over to NASCAR and be the biggest thing ever. Well, driving the open wheel car versus a 3,000-pound NASCAR vehicle is a little different. She did okay. She actually got the pole for the Daytona 500 in her first race. And it went all downhill from there. She'd get wrecked. She'd get mad at people. I think she's a good driver. I think that her temper got the better of her, and she would do shit that was just would end up making her car wreck. You know, it was just stupid shit. She was good when she wanted to be. But anyway, I digress with Danica Patrick, but she was okay.
I didn't know if it was one of those situations where it's like, you're really, really marketable. We want you to, you know, even if it's kind of like a Tim Tebow to the Mets thing. It's like, we don't even give a shit if you're any good. We just want you here because
she was a good driver. She was a good driver. I think there are better women out there that would be better drivers in NASCAR than she was, but she was good. She wasn't there as a novelty. She was there because she could drive for sure.
Okay. Is there any other sports, anything going on? I don't think there is.
I literally was just scrolling through ESPN. And
just my fantasy football team trying to overcome a five game losing streak to pull out the division at the end here, but that's it.
So we have college football. We have pro football. MLS is going on in the background.
More cancellations in college football. I know the Buckeyes got canceled again this weekend.
Yeah. College basketball started last week.
Now, how are they doing that? Are they doing a bubble thing, or are they just playing in empty arenas?
They're playing in empty arenas. They're trying to go forward with that, and it's like, I don't know.
You know, to close out COVID talk for this week, I think if there's one silver lining to this, and I don't know if that's even a silver lining, but the good thing is that you haven't heard, like, so-and-so's hospitalized. We don't think they're going to make it through none of the athletes. So that's maybe a good thing.
Yeah, I think the worst one I heard was Freddie Freeman back in spring training, right?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
He had it really bad for like a week.
I guess my point is as bad as it sounds with all these infections and stuff, you're not seeing – and just in sports, I mean, I'm not saying in the rest of the world, but just in sports, you're not seeing it come out the other end and be like, oh, my God, you know, we've lost, I don't know, one of those idiot quarterbacks in the Broncos 4 or 6 months or whatever. So maybe, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to find something good to say about it. No. I can't come up with anything.
Sure. Well, I mean, there is something good. The Moderna vaccine is apparently very close to rolling out.
I don't want to be political, but I have to ask this fucking question. All right.
Sure. Sure.
And maybe it's more about the government than it is about politics one side or the other. Why, if we know that Pfizer and Moderna both have vaccines ready to go, right? They've done the clinical trials and all that. So answer me this, and maybe somebody can explain this to me. Mike, you're pretty good at this stuff. Why in the fuck is the FDA waiting until the 17th of December to sit down and go, yeah, you can use this or no, you can't? What's the whole – why not do it today? Yeah, you there?
Oh, hello. Are you there? Hello?
Yeah.
Testing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Greg, you cut out a bit there, but I think I got the gist of what you asked. You're asking why don't they just do it today?
Or tomorrow, or Friday.
Or tomorrow. The only answer I can give for this is government bureaucracy is dumb.
Yeah, but it can't be. I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to, again, I hate to get riled up about this, but it's driving me fucking crazy.
It's all right.
If you're going to shout from the rooftops, every governor in every state, well, except for most states, let's put it that way, and you know the president-elect and everybody else is going to talk about this thing, and Congress and senators and representatives and everybody that you know, the Fauci, the whole bunch. Okay, if it's horrible and the vaccine's going to help with that, what the fuck are we waiting for?
Well, so
bureaucracy
so this
or not, you know, you say fuck the bureaucracy, get these motherfuckers in here right now, and let's make this decision. I'm just
so
saying.
So apparently there was a you know, CDC has been getting a hold of the ACIP. And I'm not quite sure who that is off the top of my head. Feel free to look that up and tell me who it is. Anyway, so basically what they're doing is they're meeting with the Food and Drug Administration to
Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices.
There you go. Okay. So the whole idea is that they're going to essentially work out tiers, and as far as like who's group 1A and who's going to be the first to get it, I'm sure they're basically going to make a plan, and obviously, you know, it's shitty that this has to wait, but I mean, man, this is how the sausage is made, you know. I mean, this sounds terrible, but it's this disease. Yes, it is killing people daily. I mean, it's infecting any number of people at a crazy rate, but it's not like slaughtering people where they, you know, in the hundreds, like immediately, you know, like there is a little bit of buffer. And I think the idea
I understand like setting up, you know, the logistics of it and all that, that I get, that's going to take a little while. I don't understand. The FDA has to give it emergency approval. And it's like, why are you waiting until the middle of December to do that? You can do that right now.
I'm sure it is just about procedure. Like, I think it's probably a combination of two things. One, they know they have a little bit of time because everybody else needs to figure out the logistics of how they're going to distribute it. And so they don't need to, like, it's not like, hey, we're ready to go, we're waiting on you. There's still stuff to take care of, so they're not in a huge rush. But I also imagine that there is some sort of, you know, paperwork, for lack of a better term.
But that
is filled out in such a order.
That aside, I have to say that it's pretty promising that in less than a year, and a lot of people are like, I'm not taking that damn thing. Well, fine, then that's up to you. I'm perfectly fine with that. But, you know, to go from where we were in March to being just, you know, we can see the vaccines on the horizon at this point, that's pretty fucking amazing. I mean, I don't know.
It's historic. There's no doubt about it. Like, when this is all said and done, like, by the time the ignominious tournament of disgrace is over, we could absolutely be looking at people potentially already getting vaccinated.
Yeah. That would be great, wouldn't it?
So from what I'm seeing, this is the New York Times, essentially there's going to be scientists from the FDA who are going to review all this stuff via a panel of experts, and that within a day to 3 days, they're going to come out with all the information as far as like who's going to get it and when and where.
Look, all I know is that I will be in line getting it as soon as, you know, I am able to. Like,
you'd be behind me because I'm older than you.
There's going to be some sort of like horrible you know, Monday night comes around and like, where the hell is Greg and Mike? You know, and then turns out that, like, you know, area man kills in violent vaccine line. And I think that's part of the other thing too, is that they want to prevent a panic. And I think that if they say, you know, it's like, you know, like,
if they give it say to, it's like a free for all, and then just, you know, there's a mob rush on the local Walgreens or whatever, then that's not going to help anyone, right. I guess.
And I guess it's a two injection thing, I guess. So there might be something you do. But
I think Pfizer's is. I think Moderna's is just one. I'm not sure.
I think Moderna's two. Go ahead.
Most of them are all two. Yeah, because for work today, I listened to our governor's full thing, and they were saying that they will here, at least, they will have a plan ready to announce by the end of the week. And that they're going to have 300,000 doses sent to California by mid-December, and that's like the first dose that needs to be taken. So the frontline workers and those at most at risk will probably have it, at the very least, their first dose taken by the end of the year.
Well, if nothing else, we can see light at the end of the tunnel, which I think is pretty fucking good. And I just want to go back. When this thing first started, we were talking on the boards about it. And DG Now, who is a fine person but was freaking out like I'd never seen before. And he's like, I understand you can be so calm about this infrared, blah, blah, blah. I said, dude, I have faith that smart people will figure this out. Well, guess what? Smart people figured it out, and here the fuck we are. So what do you think of that? So there. But yeah, it'll be fine. Well, I don't know about fine, but I mean, at least there's light at the end of the tunnel.
And kudos to the you know world science community for we've never been in a moment in history where there's so much noise politically. That's like with social media and everything like that. And a lot of it has been, you know, a lot of it has been people in power trying to politicize it, and essentially they've just ignored them. And
science has ignored them, but they've done a marvelous job of politicizing.
No, they absolutely have. The politicizing that is independent of their behavior,
right? Exactly. Yeah.
You know, they've essentially said, you know, here's this amazing shit we've done, and you know, if you guys want to make a horrible to do of it, that's your business. But like, here it is, world, enjoy. Like again, it's for many times throughout the past few years where people have, you know, exclaimed like, man, humanity is terrible and what have we become and all this stuff. And it's like, well, you know, we still do cool shit like this. Like this is still pretty amazing.
I agree completely. Absolutely.
I meant to ask you guys, how's your Thanksgiving with the coronavirus? How'd that go?
Off without much of a hit, really. Yeah.
It wasn't that crazy, honestly. So.
Yeah, like, you know.
Well, let's go down the rundown here. How many people did you have at your house, Andy?
Two.
Zach? Boy, you're in California. You might want to just stay quiet.
Not by my choice, but 12.
12? No kidding. Yeah. Wow. Or so you guys told Gavin Newsom where to shove it, basically, then.
Not you, no.
Maggle, how about you?
Including myself, five.
Five. Okay, you said one under the limit. What was four with us? Me and my girlfriend and her parents. That was it. And I got to be honest, guys. For the first hour I was there, I was fucking scared to death. Not gonna lie.
It's eerie. Yeah.
And you know, then I realized, I'm like, well, they're not sick. I'm not sick. I think we'll be okay.
And then, Zach's just here going to a super spreader event.
Is that right? Christ, no wonder California's – like, no wonder their cases going through the roof. It's your fault.
Well, like, when I was told, like, when we started counting up, I'm like, guys, we can't be doing that. And it's like, oh, well, your aunt is getting tested before she comes out, so it'll be fine. I'm still just kind of like –
Oh, yeah, people from out of state?
Well, yeah, driving from Arizona.
Dude, shut up. Before you know it, who makes the drones, Mike's? The Dan Snyder drones are going to be here to take you out.
But Greg, here's the thing. Despite all of the people, like, crying about, Newsom is a dictator. It's like, well, no, he's not, because none of the things he says are enforceable if people don't want to enforce them, and nobody wants to enforce them. So.
No, I'm just joking. That's kind of the way it is everywhere. I mean, you know, our governor gets on TV every day and yells at us. And I mean, look, I've been around and I'm just like going, dude, I don't know what more we can possibly do. We're doing everything you're asking us to do, literally all of it. And you keep yelling at us like, you've got to make the cases go down. It's like, then tell us what more we should do, because we're doing all of it. And I mean, I've not seen anywhere where I've like a big crowd of people or, you know, people misbehaving in the stores, none of that. It's like everybody's, you know, stay at home as much as you can. And we're still getting screamed at every day. And it's like, what the fuck more do you want? You know? And it's kind of getting frustrating. It's like, look, man, it can't be on us anymore. We're doing everything you're asking us to do and it's still happening. So what's the problem here?
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm. We got one local business in particular that's very much a, you know, we ain't going to listen to the governor. We're going to do what we want to do. And they had one lady who called the health department on them, and they ended up posting all of her personal information on their Facebook page. And so she got death threat phone calls and all this shit. It's just like, really, man, like this is, you guys have taken it the wrong
way. Here's a little info on the, as Rob heard it. First responders and nursing home people first on the list. The rest of us will probably be available. Like, fuck, by June it'll be over. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I would not be surprised if you know, by the start of next NFL season, there's going to be people in the stands. And I mean,
God, I hope so.
I mean, there's no question there's going to be people in the stands next season.
Well, the NFL is going to have people in the stands regardless. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, well, whether or not it's full capacity, there may, you know, there may be half capacity. So it depends, you know, depending on where things are at, but.
You know what, though? I was watching one of the games on yesterday. They went to a shot of the stadium. I'm like –
Yeah, it was Packers-Bears, yeah.
But there was another one where it was an early game. There was so many people there. I was like, if you're going to have this many people, why? What's the point in having a capacity limit? I mean, when you've got, I understand it would make it worse, it, you know, like spread it more. But if you've got like 300 people packed into one section, how is it any better? You know, I, other than I guess it's not 60,000, but still, I just understand the logic sometimes. But
look, all I know is that this shit's going to be cleared up by 2022 when The Rock will bring the XFL back.
Is that how long it's going to be?
That the Rock bought the XFL out of bankruptcy court and announced that it's coming back in 2022.
Okay, well,
all right.
And apparently Fox is on board because
Houston broke ass Oiler Roughnecks. Let's go.
Because apparently Fox will literally put anything on. Like, I don't know.
Oh, they've proven that football. Over the years. Come on.
It's, yeah, sure, whatever. We don't care.
No sane network should turn down a football contract. I mean, there's just too much money behind it.
There's just too much money. And I mean, that's the crazy thing. Like, you know, we make fun of the XFL, but like even the XFL, even the AAF, which had lower ratings than the XFL, was still outdrawing like baseball and soccer. So it's,
well, can you blame it? I mean, really? You guys have watched baseball in the last 5 years. I would rather watch AAF football too.
Apollos, take aim,
baby, you got it.
World anyway, champion Apollos,
that's right, undefeated, I believe. Right along with my Houston broke ass Oiler Roughnecks. Anyway, so yeah, we gotta sit down and figure out what we're going to do with the tournament and the entries and all that. And
sure. So we can probably call it a night for all the show.
Call it a night. And, everybody, thanks for tuning in, as always. Our first ever live moderator.
Unveiling.
Knighting on ever on the boards, yeah.
Long may I reign.
We all walked up to Andy and handed him a rose. And
yeah, there you go.
is there like a Supreme Court justice where you are until you're dead?
Yeah, or retire.
This is a lifetime. It's like the Supreme Court, basically. Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I don't want to get into this on the show, but has anybody ever been kicked out of being a mod?
No, not that I can think of. One person has. I know for a fact one person has.
Okay, we won't get into names or anything.
No, you want to get into names, trust me.
Okay, well, who was it then?
It's Tanklin.
He was a mod?
He was.
Get the fuck out of here.
He was removed as a mod for behavior that was unbecoming of a moderator.
Wow.
Yeah, Tank was a mod at one point, and he got – see, I've been around since, like, 03, so I know all this weird shit, but Tank was a mod.
That sounds right. I vaguely recall at least some knowledge of him being a mod.
There was he was a mod, and then the compromise when they removed him was that he would remain a mod, but only in the Sports in General forum, because that was the official forum of the Sports Encyclopedia.
The absolute worst.
And then he, and then that kind of went away, and then he stopped being a mod. But yeah, Tank was a mod. Tank is the only person I can think of who was actually actively removed.
It had to be Tank. It couldn't have been anybody else, right?
The only other one, like not even STL Fanatic, St. Louis Fanatic, was not even he got removed, even though he probably should have been.
So the bar is low.
Like STL Fanatic probably should have been removed, and even he wasn't. Like he was allowed to kind of go out on his own terms, but. But Tank got the Tank got the pink slip.
We gotta hit him one more time.
The absolute worst.
Which now I'm picturing in the metaphorical physical manifestation of the mod forum. Right, there's like a little corner of infamy that has like Tank's picture up underneath, like
it's his old nasty.
An always burning candle or something. like the only guy who's ever been, you know, fired as a mod.
Right. All right. Anyway, guys, we will, folks, thanks for tuning in as always to the live show. There will be a podcast version available here in the next day or so for those of you that I guess want to listen again. Or you can just watch the YouTube clip. Fuck, I don't even know why I'm talking about that. It's all right there. We will get the
if you're only listening to us on a podcast, thank you for listening to it on a podcast.
Right, exactly. That's what I was trying to say. I just got it backwards. Those of you listening on the audio side of things, thank you too for bearing with us and waiting until it came out and all that. But
for those waiting for this on Laserdisc,
keep waiting.
you know what? If they actually still made Laserdisc, I'd contemplate doing that. Like,
those things are pretty good. I always heard they actually had a great.
They're pretty good, but like nobody makes them. Like a YouTuber I follow, who does video game like retro video game reviews, put out a compilation of all of his top rated stuff. And he wanted it on – like it was on DVD and he wanted a special edition that was going to be on Laserdisc. Only like he legitimately couldn't find a single person who would manufacture a Laserdisc. Like it's dead.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt that for a second. They were like big giant-ass CDs if I remember right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're going to call it a night, folks. We will get the tournament entries all straightened out and let you know what's going on with that. As always, follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports. Subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere else that fine podcasting is sold. We will see you next week.